caught side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls podcast, supported by Blue Collar Street Food. Well, today's a very special episode. I've been joined by Tom McIntyre at Bearwood. I mean, Tom, you are having an absolutely crazy last few weeks. How's it been?
Yeah, it's been pretty nuts, actually. Getting the stress and sort of worry of staying up has just sort of taken over my life, really, for the past few months especially, and then for it to sort of, I don't know, come to the point where I've scored two important goals, it's just been so, it's been amazing, but I'm quite tired from it all now. But I think that's to be expected. Of my sleep over that weekend was quite affected, and I didn't get much at all, just sort of running on adrenaline, I think. But no, it's been a dream come true, really, to get those two goals and help us stay in the league. Yeah.
Just a dream, isn't it? I mean, as a fan, you kind of like, you know, we've all had that as young people growing up, watching their teams, and then all of a sudden, you're the person doing it. That's bad, isn't it? And not once, Tom, but twice.
Yeah.
And like, you varied the celebrations as well. So I've got to admire that. Did you learn from the first celebration? Or like, your mind you don't even know where you are when you score.
No, you don't. And I'd love to say that I thought about the celebrations, but the second one I didn't expect to score the first one, but let alone the second one. So yeah, when it happens, it's just like sheer emotion, and I don't really know what to do with myself when I score. I felt like that's as happy as you can ever be, I feel. I don't feel like there's any moment in your life that could beat that, apart from, obviously, I'm not a dad or anything, but maybe when your children are born, maybe that's a happy moment. But yeah, that was the best feeling I've ever had, yeah.
Yeah, I can totally see that. And both quality finishes as well. I mean, I'm picking you up big time here, yeah. By that time, but like, they really were. It's like, striker finishes, like left foot, right foot, you combine the two, it's just wonderful. And the second one though, 95th minute, and then you go and conduct like the stand and doing the song. We won't go into the lyrics now because that's not wise, but that was incredible doing that as well.
Yeah, it was. I've always like enjoyed that chant. I really do like that chant, and I just felt like it was right at that moment to get it going, really. Yeah,
6 points down, but we won't go any further with that one. That could definitely get us in trouble. But yeah, it's been a while since you made your debut, hasn't it? 2018, Rotherham away, 1-0, you get mad at the match, but you see sat here, but like the war wound that you've got from that,
yeah.
Fracture of your skull. I mean, when you look back, how much has your kind of like experience in life changed since that day?
Do you know what, I'd say, for like the months after, I was a bit nervous about heading the ball, and probably for another year after that, I was a bit nervous about heading the ball, and that was something that I've always thought has been a strong part of my game, and something that I've always loved doing. So for that year, it was a bit strange, and it did knock me back a bit, really. And especially with the operation that I had, it was quite an invasive operation, and I was really quite ill in hospital for a few days after that, as should be expected. I think it was tough also for my family as well. I didn't realise at the time, I'd already had an operation on my knee before, so that was the first ever operation I'd had, and that went relatively smoothly. So I thought it would just be quite straightforward, really. Your head's different, isn't it, when your head's involved. So it was a bit of a shock, and I didn't expect it to be as bad as what it was. I think, it worried my family's sick, yeah.
Yeah, well, I can imagine. I mean, it's a proper serious injury. Forget about football.
Yeah.
It's big, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the people around you, and also kind of like when you're saying how it affected you afterwards. People don't think about that when they have injuries. They think they just come back and then they're straight back into it. But it just doesn't work like that.
No, not at all. It's, with all injuries, I think, I don't know about everyone else, but I think I always do worry about if I get an injury in one place that it will happen again, or I'm a worrier in general, so I do worry about a lot of things, and I think that yeah, that just made me worry even more with it being so serious with my head. And especially as a centre back, that's a big part of your game. So yeah, for that to happen was a big shock.
Yeah, it was. I mean, look where you are now. I mean, looking into the positive side of it, you've obviously developed now into a championship defender. You're there, you've played a lot this season of a left back. What would you say about playing there? Where would you say your preferred position is looking forward, ideally, kind of like team next season now looking around?
It would always be a centre back. I obviously have come through the academy playing centre back, and that's been my main position, but I do really enjoy playing in midfield as well. And I think that I think my qualities are probably better suited to centre back, I'd say, but if I can add that string to my bow and be able to play in midfield, I think that's invaluable in a team like Reading, because maybe in the last few years we haven't had as big as squads, or there's been a lot of injuries, and being able to fill in different positions really does help the team out. But again, obviously, as every footballer would say, their ambition is to get to the top of the game, and I feel that if I'm to get to the top of the game, it would be in centre-back, I think. You look at the best midfielders in the world, they're amazing technically, and I'm not saying I'm not good technically, but I feel like they're another level, and to just step in here and there is a tough ask to do that.
I do remember one flick that you did, QPR away last season for Elise.
Yeah.
And you say you don't, you know, technical. I think I can see the smile on your face when I bring it up. That was pretty nice. I mean, so it's in there.
Yeah, it's definitely. There. I feel like that's a strong part of my game, is being comfortable on the ball. And I think a big part of that is growing up in the academy and stuff. They always teach you to be able to play in different positions and be comfortable on the ball. And I always think when you see a player who's come through an academy, from watching football myself, or maybe a lad that's come through non-league, you can see sort of small differences as to how they receive the ball and sort of how they move on the ball. It's always, it's a bit subtle, and probably to most people you wouldn't notice it, but I always feel that coming through the academy really did help me a lot technically, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, totally, and also you've come through an era of being a Hogwood, now a Bearwood.
Yeah.
The players that are going to come through here have got so many more advantages compared, or maybe, or you're going to say, you know, old school, if you like the Hogwood world, I don't know what's better, because here it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, definitely, yeah. It's absolutely amazing facilities, brilliant pitches. We've got a great gym and stuff. So, yeah, in terms of what you're saying, that we've got everything that we'd ever want, it works both ways, doesn't it? Because at the same time, yeah, you're right. If you have all those facilities at such a young age, maybe you get a bit too comfortable with it. And I know there's people who will say both ways, but even at Hogwood, the facilities were great at Hogwood as well. It may have been a bit smaller and less pitches, but again, I think it's just about whatever happens is keeping those young players grounded and making sure that they never forget where they came from and what they're trying to achieve, really, yeah.
Yeah, obviously, you are kind of like, I always say, I'm doing on their own part roles, like the king of the game, basically. Which obviously, you like that. So like, it's like, I can't decide which one's a bigger Reading icon now, before we line with you. It is really a tough one, because like, you are just kind of there as the fan on the pitch, but you deserve to be there on the pitch. It's not going to like, you know, that's why people love it. It's because you're delivering.
Yeah.
That's the most important factor, isn't it, now, for you going forward and just playing 30, 40 games in the season?
Yeah, definitely. That's always something that I want the fans, as much as I want them to like me as maybe like a Reading fan, I want them to like me as a player. I don't want that, oh, we really like him because he's a Reading fan. I want them to like me as a player too. So, no, that's an important thing for me. I never sort of rest on my laurels, that I don't feel like I'm owed anything. I feel like I've always got a point to prove, and I'm always trying to show how good I am. And yeah, as I'm getting older, I'm trying to just do that more and more, really. Yeah.
Yeah, you're only 23, though, Tom.
Yeah.
You've still got quite a few years.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Quite a lot. Sure. But you've obviously seen in that period since you came into the team, I've seen counted up early, you've got six managers you've gone through.
Yeah.
that's quite a lot. You've obviously seen a change of manager since you came in here this season. You've had Pavic and you've had Paul Ince now. Well, what are your thoughts on both those managers?
Well, touching on the amount of managers I've had, I think that's been tough as a young player coming through. I think there's been a few of us that, maybe like me, Tom, Andrew Rinnebeck is a bit older, but yeah, me and Tom mainly, I think we've spoken about it a lot. It's when you're a young player and you're trying to make your way in the game, having different managers is tough because a manager will come in and maybe see that you haven't played as many games as someone else, and then they wouldn't have watched many games before, and it's always, you're always trying to prove yourself, I feel, which may be a good thing. But yeah, as a younger player, when you're making your way in the game, it's always tough when the manager is changing. But yeah, in terms of this year, there's been a few different hiccups and whatnot. But I think since the new manager came in, Paul, he's been brilliant with me. And the main thing I feel like he's done is really put a lot of confidence into me. And I feel like at the start of the season, maybe things weren't going our way, and I think confidence was quite low. And I think since I've been back fit this side of the new year, I think he's just really just filled me with so much confidence that I can just go out and play my normal game, really. Yeah,
next time to the Sheffield United game in the post-match interview when you were totally buzzing. You can see that clearly.
Yeah.
You're saying that how you were so happy that he showed that much faith in you to play you in the centre mid.
Yeah.
In that role, because, you know, it's a risk for him as well, isn't it? As well, it's like he's trying to keep the job as well.
Yeah.
But you delivered 100%. So.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was obviously a position I haven't played much this year. Well, at all, actually. That was my first game this year in centre mid. And yeah, for him to sort of speak to me and just say, just go out and do your thing. It just made me feel comfortable to go out and do that, because I don't know, there've been times this year where I don't feel like I've had that confidence necessarily, and that's been a real big thing that I've felt from him is he's just sort of instilled that in me and give me confidence, really. I think that's massive as a footballer. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because you look at the experiences he had as a player, you can't doubt him as a player at all.
No, yeah,
I mean, he's one of the best midfielders in Premier League history, I'd say. I don't think that's overestimated.
No, it's not at all.
So to hear from him and putting faith in you must feel amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as a player, that's all you want is a manager to fully believe in you and make you feel good, because when you feel good, you tend to play better. So yeah, it's a massive thing.
Yeah, talking about like confidence as a player and how it affects you and how situations happen in football. In the previous season, you've maybe kind of had some games that hadn't maybe gone so well, but then maybe you've spoken to Mark Bowden.
Yeah.
And kind of like, you can tell us more about how he's affected your kind of outlook on different situations.
Well, how it started was I had a game last year where we lost, I can't remember what the score was, but we lost anyway, and I was really disappointed with how I played. And people may or may not, they may have different opinions on him, but Liam Moore was the captain at the time, and he spoke to me, and he'd seen him previously, and he just said, I think it would be great for you to go and see him, and he actually booked me in to see him and paid for the whole course for me, which isn't cheap.
No.
And that's just one of the many things that Liam's done for me to really help me, and I think with me being in the same position as him trying to get his spot, I think that just shows, well, to me, that shows what a character he is to have helped me out so much. And because he didn't need to do that at the time. And that's really helped me no end. He just sort of changed my, Mark, this is, he changed my just whole outlook on games to be more positive about it going in. Because obviously it's only natural to, as a defender as well, to think, oh, if I give a ball away or if I make a mistake, it'll be a disaster, this and that. And that was maybe, at that point when I played, I'd maybe built it up so much that, I don't know, maybe I did crumble a little bit in that second half of that game. And it was the first time in my football where I thought, well, like, I'm not good enough for this, really. And those sort of thoughts did go through my head, as it would to anyone, I imagine. But yeah, he taught me all different techniques, and there's stuff I even do now, and it's become more of a routine now. When I first started doing the course with him, I'd write it all down and I'd sort of refer back to it. But now I've sort of got into a position where it just comes natural now before games to think positively, and amongst various other things. But yeah, I'll forever be in indebted to Mark Lowden.
Yeah, sounds really fascinating. Just another example of footballers are robots.
No, they don't
go home and just forget about everything. And as much as some people seem to think that, it doesn't work like that, Tom, does it? No. For any player, not just yourself.
No, not at all. And I think with the serious injuries that I'd had when I was younger, that play on my mind as well. Before games, yeah, I'm being quite open here about it. I'm not really openly spoke about this before, but I'd get really anxious before games, just worrying about injuries, and then there would be times when I'd have a horrible feeling that I would get injured in a game, and going into a game with that sort of mindset was completely wrong, and I knew that at the time, but didn't really know how to change that. And I could pick out games in the past where I've had that sort of feeling before. I won't go into the game, yeah. But if I mention the games to you, you'd be like, oh yeah, you didn't have a great game there, or you looked a bit off it there. And I'm not making excuses at all, but this was just sort of my mindset before some games. And Mark's kind of sort of ridden me of that, and sort of got that out of my game, because it was never going to help me. And you've always got to be positive. And he explained it to me as putting the pin back in the grenade. So as soon as you start thinking these thoughts, it will just blow up in your head. And he always said, just put the pin back in and put the grenade to the side. So that's kind of what goes through my head now. Yeah,
that's really fascinating, because yeah, I'm sure like there'll be lots of other footballers in the same situation.
Oh, definitely.
Sports people.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah.
They like could need that advice, and it could change their whole outlook on everything. And people suffering, because when you're in the like football world or anything sporting, you're in the public eye.
Yeah.
Everyone has an opinion.
Yeah.
And we all sit there, I'm sure you do, Tom, sometimes at home when you're watching football, you have opinions, but you don't put it out there.
No.
Yeah. But with football, everyone will put it out there on social media, and that can be a really disastrous place to be hanging out after a game if it hasn't gone well.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And I think maybe as a Reading fan growing up, obviously I'm on Twitter and I follow all the Reading pages. And it's great when it's going well, but when it isn't, that really does just, it weighs on you a lot, I think. And there might be people there thinking, oh, why has he unfollowed me, or this and that. But in the end, I think it was earlier in the year, I just had to mute a lot of Reading related accounts, because I just didn't want to see it. As much as maybe I agreed with some things and disagreed with others, I just thought for me it was just better that I just sort of distanced myself from that a bit. And I think that was important, because you can get bogged down in sort of, I get the fans, maybe mood might be low at times, and rightly so, but I think as a player, you can't get dragged into that, because you've got to be positive as a player, regardless of how the results are going or how the team's doing. So yeah, that was something that I did earlier in the year. So yeah, anyone who's listening, don't take it personally. No.
I'm not going to take it personally at all. I totally understand that, because you need to get yourself in this kind of like happy medium level, don't you?
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just going to be all over the place reading that. That's not
at all. No, not at all.
No, so let's kind of like move on to some more like happy times and kind of like football. When you look back at like when you were growing up, possibly playing for Reading, you obviously joined the club when you were 8 years old. Has it lived up to everything that you thought it would be, or is it better or worse? I don't know.
I'd say it's as you'd expect, really. But at the same time, there are a lot of maybe negative sides that you don't see. As you're growing up, it's always like sunshine and rainbows, and I play for Reading and everything will be great. And that's, I'm sure, what a lot of people think. And on the most part, it is, but there's obviously times like we've mentioned that it's not as dreamlike as you do think. I think the games, when you do play, when you don't have as good a games as well, and I think that maybe affects me more, because I know, because I want to do so well for the club, and sometimes you don't. I think that that does affect me a lot. But on the most part, I think, yeah, it's been a, yeah, it's been, I'm living my dream, really. You know, I'll never say that I'm not, but yeah, there is tough times as well. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what everyone else is going to think, but I'll just say what I think here is that no one can ever doubt your commitment.
No.
And I think that's the most important factor. We can all have, like, say that, like, I've played, I don't, never played in my life, but so, it's like, you see players, and if you feel that they're committed, that's what you can ask.
Yeah.
They can have ups and downs because they're humans. We can't all be like Ronaldo's or Messi's, can they?
Yeah.
It just doesn't work like that.
No, not at all. So, I think growing up and how I've been brought up, it's always been to give 100% regardless of what's going on, and that's something that, in my opinion, is the bare minimum for any player, really. It's just giving 100% and running the knack, as I'm saying. Maybe a bit harder at centre back. That's another thing is when I play in midfield, I feel like I can do that.
Yeah.
I feel like as a midfielder, the bare minimum that you should do is just run about and get about the pitch and be all action.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas yeah, it's a bit different when you're playing at centre back. You've got to be careful about doing that because you don't want to be running here, there, and everywhere.
Are we gonna have this thing like I had this before in this with Liam? It's like all these other players around the pitch get away with these little things that they do. Us centre backs, we're basically the cornerstone of it.
Yeah, basically. My mindset completely flips when I'm playing, whether I'm playing at centre back or midfield, into like cautious mode, or you can be a bit more adventurous mode. Yeah,
kind of like a certain part you turned into Ovi or John Swift.
It's kind of I can listen to sort of different songs in the changing room before. You know?
Yeah, I guess you will, because yeah, it's like a pre-match build-up, isn't it? It's like going to worry mode when you're playing centre back.
Yeah.
Instead of like saying
a bit more serious mode as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always felt that as I prepare differently depending on where I'm playing, which is a bit strange. You should prepare. You should prepare the same all the time, but yeah, I feel a bit more relaxed when I'm playing midfield.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Now I can see how it works because you're basically doing a different role.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, one of them's a bit more performance, and the other one's a bit more kind of like, I'm going to stop you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, what do you think is the difference, main difference that you've seen between like the arrival of Paul Ince since Panovic left, kind of like tactically, or in the change of dressing room, or how he deals with you, maybe?
I think since the new manager came in, there's been a lot more discipline. I think maybe it was tough. It was tough with how things were going, I think. The team was at such a low point with the old manager that it was hard to keep that discipline, I think. But since the new manager's come in, I think there's been a real shift in tightening up the discipline, really, which I think is really important. As well as, I think we've done a lot more, as people have probably said already, that we've done a lot more sort of defensive structure in training that I felt we've obviously conceded a lot of goals this year. I felt he's come in and really sort of nailed it on as to where we get the wingers. He's put a lot of emphasis on the wingers and a lot of demands on the wingers to get back in and support the fullbacks and support the midfielders so that we force the ball out wide. And I get people might be sat listening going, well, you've lost 3-0 to Hull and you've lost this game. But I think on the whole, when you look at our results, they have improved a lot towards the back end of the season, and I think that's a really important part of it is the amount of defensive structure work we've done since he came in. And I felt like, just in my opinion maybe, that the manager previous didn't want to maybe upset some of the lads, or he may have thought that because we were in such a sort of negative period of the season, that maybe doing defensive shape would have just caused more negativity in a way. But I think, yeah, where it got to, I think that's been important that he's come in and solidified it a bit more.
Yeah, so I can't speak for you here, but would you like to see Paul Ince stay on next year?
Yeah, I would, yeah. I think he's done a great job, regardless of what I've seen different opinions and whatever, but in my opinion, I think he's come in and he's done exactly what he needed to do. And I felt like at the time when he came in, had he not come in, maybe we'd have maybe we wouldn't be sat in this position now. And I think a lot of credit's got to go to him, and the way he's just got us out of that the rut that we were in, really. And I think when he came in, I don't think there was many other expectations other than to stay up, and he's done that. So, in my opinion, I think he is the right man for it.
Yeah, well, if you look at it, 2 defeats in the last 8, that's not that bad, is it?
I mean, no.
I think that's an amazing run from where we've been. Yeah, I would say amazing, to be honest, because we're never know, but I felt with the previous manager we were going to get relegated. And I don't want to see that happen,
no. But
I felt that we weren't going in the right direction.
No.
But we'll never know that, so it's all hypothetical.
And sometimes it's not, because maybe you're right in thinking that, and sometimes it's not. It's not maybe the old manager was the wrong person, but sometimes things just need a change, don't they? And I think that was the right time to have a change. And we don't know what would have happened if he'd stayed and we played the rest of the season. But all I know now is that we're safe and the new manager's come in and done a top job. And
obviously, we confirmed safety on Saturday against Hull City with not an ideal result, let's not dress that up, but then you have the situation at the end when you're kind of, the away end is celebrating because you stayed up, but you've just lost 3-0. So what do you feel like? You're like, do I join in to celebrate? You're in that weird limbo.
Yeah, that was a really odd, it was a really odd moment, I thought, at the end. Because the main aim throughout the whole sort of last few months of the season has been to stay up, and managing to do it was massive. But at the same time, we have lost the game 3-0, and yeah, it was a bit. I walked over and clapped the fans and stuff, and they were. It looked like we'd have won if you'd have just seen the fans.
It felt like that, Tom. In the way, yeah. It was really odd because, like, you obviously weren't David, but everyone for the last 5-10 minutes just looked at the phone as well.
Yeah.
Because what was happening on the pitch was kind of irrelevant. If Forest lost, beats or beat Peterborough, it's all that matters. But for you, you were obviously focused on getting the goal back.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But of course, that was going through my head as well. But I remember we walked in at half time. And I glanced up at the scoreboard and it said that Forest were, it was Forest, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
They were 1-0 up. So yeah, as much as you were thinking about it, I was still thinking about it as well. But yeah, we've lost the game 3-0. So it was a slight, you're always a bit embarrassed when you lose a game 3-0, I think, as you should be. But yeah, walking over to the fans at the end was, yeah, it was a bit strange. I didn't know how, if I'm honest, I didn't know how to react. But I was at that moment, I was just gutted that we lost, really. But yeah, when you look at the bigger picture, and the manager said after that, we've done what we set out to do, so he obviously wasn't happy with how we played, but yeah, at the end of the day, that was the main thing, and it was keeping the team in the position.
Yeah, totally, and that's what matters, because it's not just about like us playing in the championships next season. It keeps people in jobs, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think
that matters really, because you know these people that are not on like wages like the footballers are.
Yeah.
They're just on living normal wages. But you know what I mean? Situation's very different for them, and they'll be affected far more.
Oh, 100%. Like, I have so many friends and stuff at the club who work here, and yeah, would have lost their jobs, and that weighs on you as well. And yeah, I know not everyone's going to be here next year, but there's some of us who are going to be here, and yeah, it's a massive worry. You obviously, as a player, you don't want to have to drop down a division at all. And so I've seen before in the past people saying, oh, why are they celebrating staying up? Like, it's been a terrible season, this and that. But at the end of the day, of course, we don't want to be in this position, and we haven't performed to how we think we should perform. But when you've got all those worries at the time, when you finally do get safe, it's a brilliant feeling, you know. And I don't think anyone can really take that away from you. The fact that you do have those worries and the relief when we did finally stay up was immense. Yeah.
I look at the team and since Paul Ince has come together, and you look more of a unit.
Yeah.
To me, I don't know how that is within your environment, but the way you come together and kind of like stood up for the fact, yeah, you did lose, but we've achieved it. We've had a 6-point deduction. which you can't underestimate the impact that must probably had on you. I mean, you talk about, like, how did that affect you when you heard that news?
Oh, it was gutting, and I think it probably dragged the whole sort of place down a bit, because that just completely wipes off two wins, doesn't it? And I think whereas our hopes maybe at the start of the season were, like, obviously promotion is, whatever championship side you're in, that's always the aim at the start of the season, is where we could get playoffs or we could get automatics or whatever, and that's always in your mind. But then to get them 6 points was just like, oh, now we might be fighting down towards the end of the table. And I think that in itself, dragging the lads down, doesn't help at all. And I think, yeah, it's easy for people to say, oh, well, if you'd got 6 extra points, then you'd have only just been outside the relegation zone. But it's bigger than that, you know. And especially the time of the season that the points came, it really did affect everyone, I think. And yeah, you never want to be sort of fighting around the bottom. You want to be towards the top. So yeah, it was really tough.
Yeah, I think people underestimate the psychology of what happens with those events. Yeah. So the psychology of it, like you're saying, it's not just the playing staff, is it? It's everyone.
No. Yeah.
Because, like, all of a sudden, that win at Fulham, that's kind of gone.
Yeah.
And you think, hang on, how much effort do you have to put in to get that?
Yeah.
And it's insane. It hasn't gone, but it feels like that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, that's spot on.
Yeah. So thanks a lot for joining us with the first part of this, Tom. On the second part, we're going to ask some fan questions, and we're going to see how that goes.
Yeah.
So, cheers. Hi, if you've enjoyed this podcast, go over to Apple or Spotify and give us a 5-star review. That would be absolutely brilliant. Or you could sign up to our Ko-fi account and make a donation to us on a monthly basis, and you get some extra bonus like early access and some extra podcasts every month. So, cheers. Thank you.